This is Brian Forrester, and welcome to the Active Investor Podcast, our monthly look at what's happening across asset management, how Lord Abbett's investment leaders are viewing today's markets, and the strategies that can help investors navigate different challenges and opportunities. In this episode, we're talking about municipal bonds and the evolution and innovation that's happening in this space, both for asset managers and investors. And joining us is Greg Schumann, a portfolio manager and a partner here at Lord Abbett. Greg has been in the investment industry since 2010 and is a CFA charter holder. So welcome, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
So over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll talk about the opportunity in high yield muni, how that's changed over the last decade, and some of the new approaches and product vehicles that might be helping investors today to access this segment of the market. But I thought first maybe we'd touch a little bit on your background and how you got into investing. I know you joined Lord Abbett right out of college, I think in 2010. Kind of how did you get into investing and then maybe more specific into the muni bond market?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Sure. Longtime listener, first time on the podcast. So hopefully that won't be the last.
Yep.
I came straight out of college in 2010 and was recruited by Dan Solander, who runs the municipal bond department and has now for over 17 years. And what attracted me to the asset class was the fact that you have municipals, which sits at the intersection of markets and politics or government policy. Mm. And so those two had always interested me. And I didn't grow up dreaming of being a municipal bond investor. I think very few people even know what municipal bonds are when they're in college. But the fact that it was at the intersection of these two areas of interest that I had throughout my youth and growing up made it really attractive in the long run and a place where I found it very interesting. And then second of all, I was sitting on a seat directly next to some great investors who had a long track record like Dan Solander, and you were just so close in the middle of the activity of growing a business, developing a lot of these different products and mutual funds as well as separate accounts, and just being so close to the activity made it really interesting. I still have the notebooks of every trade that we would do over 15 years ago.
Wow.
And where things were trading, what the portfolio managers were thinking, asking them and quizzing them on kind of all the different ideas they had. And so that's been super impactful, just having great mentors around the firm to help develop talent and myself.
Wow. Awesome story. So maybe talk a little bit just about the high yield muni market. I think maybe just like demystify it a little bit. Like, what are the types of issuers? You know, what are some of the characteristics of it? Just at a sort of high level, just to kind of level set.
Sure. So when you think about the muni bond market in its entirety, it's about a $4 trillion asset class. Only about $250 billion of that is actually in the high yield muni, true below investment grade bonds. Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting thing is that most people, when they think about municipal bonds, they typically think it's a general obligation bond. I'm lending money to a specific city that's building out their infrastructure.
Right.
Well, in the high yield space, it's about 90% revenue bonds. So there's some specific revenue, whether it be a water and sewer bill or something to that effect, where that specific revenue is pledged to pay you back. And so that's about 90% of what we do in the high yield muni space. Another interesting fact is that about 70%, if you look at the Bloomberg Barclays High Yield Municipal Bond Index, about 70% of that index is in non-rated securities. So municipal market participants like ourselves, who have been around this market for a long period of time, are very comfortable with non-rated securities because maybe the rating agencies, they don't have a criteria or a methodology within a sector because it's not scalable for them. It's very small. It's a niche part of the market. So they don't want to do it because it's not a profitable activity for them. But we may have the expertise in-house to evaluate the creditworthiness of that particular part of the market. When you think about the sectors in the market, what we're actually lending to, they're issuers like corporate issuers that are able to access the tax-exempt market for whatever reason through the private activity bond issuances that are available in this country. There are things like hospital systems that are all throughout the country. There are things like senior living facilities all throughout the country. And then there are things like land development deals, where they're building out the basic infrastructure needs to develop single family and multifamily housing as well.
Okay. So then, you know, some of those interesting, some of those examples you just brought up, like what's the default experience for high yield muni bonds? And sort of like, how does that compare to say the corporate market, right? And the default experience for similar credit ratings?
Yeah. So typically the default experience within high yield munis, if you look at the actual numbers of defaults on a annual basis, are typically somewhere in that 2-3% range when you include non-rated bonds. So if you were to just look at what is happening defined by Moody's, who runs a default study, that is based on the securities that they're actually rating. Mm-hmm. So that typically you see high yield munis are defaulting about a third at the rate of corporate bonds.
Wow. Okay.
But within the non-rated segment, it is a little bit more, but you typically see about 1-2% default rates per year. And that's kind of the pace that we're at right now, which is relatively low versus kind of historical trends.
Okay, that's very helpful. So you think about like the last decade, you see the dealer inventories are down. You see the banks and insurance companies are less involved. So like what's sort of been the dynamics behind that over the last, say, 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, so it's just that in the post-GFC world, banks have been backing away more and more from multiple activities. One of them is lending. So mm-hmm. typically they're lending against some secured asset or maybe it's a piece of real estate, a factory. And typically they had been very comfortable doing that, particularly the middle market segment of the market. Mm-hmm. So you think about small banks giving out $20, $30, $40 million loans to a charter school and it's secured by a building. Well, what we've been seeing over the most recent past is that a lot of these deals that typically banks would do directly with that charter school are now actually coming as bonds in the municipal bond market. And so they're pretty strong security, but and pretty strong prospects for them having the ability to repay that loan. But banks are just no longer to do that type of activity or don't want to do that type of activity for capital reasons or balance sheet reasons. The second thing that we're seeing is banks are less and less likely to provide significant liquidity in the secondary market. Mm-hmm. And what that means is if you look at over time, and I were to go back to 2006 or 2007, banks were holding somewhere between 50 and 60 billion of inventory on their balance sheet of municipal bonds. Whereas if I were to look at that number today, it's somewhere between 5 and 10 billion. Yeah. So relatively significant reduction in the secondary activity of investment banks providing liquidity.
Okay. That's very helpful background. So let's maybe shift now to think about you as an investor and how you think about investing in this space. A lot of what you just described seems like there's a pretty attractive risk-reward trade-off, especially in high-yield munis. Pretty attractive credit quality, especially to talk about the default experience. High tax equivalent yield, and some pretty attractive historical returns. So, you know, as you think about being an investor in this space, what are some of the things you look for? And just maybe just your overall, you know, approach to investing.
Sure. So let's start here. The single most important thing when you're investing is your starting yield. Historically, based on what you're going to earn, is most likely going to look like your starting yield. If you look at from a long-term perspective and you're looking 5-10 years down the line, your starting yield is the single most important thing. Mm-hmm. Today, the starting yield on the high yield municipal bond index is about 5.9%. Mm-hmm. That's about a 10% taxable equivalent yield. When I look at the historical volatility of that asset class and I compare a 10% taxable equivalent return or yield to other asset classes, that is extremely attractive.
Yeah.
Right? One of the things that's holding people back is if you look at the AA bond index, it's about 3.8%. Mm. So you're getting about 210 basis points of excess yield for buying a below investment grade bond versus buying in a AA rated municipal if you're looking sort of apples to apples.
Yeah.
And the issue that people are having is they're saying, well, credit spreads are tight. But what I would say is that yields haven't been this high in over 10 years. So you are getting a wonderful opportunity, and that opportunity is based on yields and historical returns that you've received. So I'm very excited about the prospects of the future returns for investors in the asset class today.
Got it. Why does that exist? Like, why that sort of 210 basis point spread that you talked about? Well, we talked about that much better default experience in the muni market than, say, in the corporate market, right? So is there just like a mispricing that's persistent, or is it investor behavior, or why do you think that exists?
Yeah, so I think that the premium exists because when you think about munis as an asset class, demand is very segmented, right? Mm-hmm. And fragmented. So if you think about who holds municipal bonds, it's predominantly about 70% of the market, either through mutual funds, ETFs, or separately managed accounts, or directly owning individual securities. It's about 70% individual investors. And those individual investors can move about the market in very fragmented ways, and they tend to act together. So when you think about the high yield muni space specifically, it's a very niche market, and most of the individual investors own municipal bonds for stability and for income. And so they focus predominantly on that short and intermediate part of the yield curve, predominantly in the high quality segment of the market. And so because you have this fragmented demand profile, you end up with what I think are wonderful opportunities in the high yield space, because people usually come into munis not to take risk, but to stay away from risk.
Got it.
And so that creates, in my view, long-term opportunity for investors in the credit space.
So one last question for you, Greg. I mentioned at the in our intro, just some of the evolution and innovation happening at the product level in this space. Can you talk a little bit about what the benefits are of investing in kind of a semi-liquid structure in the high yield muni space?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you think about the concentration of assets in the high yield muni space, it's predominantly concentrated amongst 10 mutual fund family managers. And so what we're able to do there is create a more concentrated, focused portfolio with our best ideas. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're able to provide creative financing solutions that maybe don't fit in a daily liquid vehicle, or for whatever reason are not well understood by the market. Mm-hmm. And then we're able to more effectively deploy leverage through the tender option bond market, which can be a very attractive part of the market, particularly when you have a very steep yield curve, as you do in the municipal bond market today. And so those things allow you to perhaps pursue a little bit higher returns, a little bit higher yields in the market than you would traditionally be able to get through an open-end mutual fund.
Yeah, and I would imagine as well, the ability to be a buyer as the market, as flows are going out, as opposed to sort of being beholden to investor flows, that's probably a benefit as well.
Yeah, that's a wonderful aspect to a semi-liquid vehicle as well. If you look typically over long periods of time, some of the best returns have come out of periods where you've seen the largest outflows in municipal bond open-end mutual funds. And so typically going against the grain has afforded investors very, very well. And, having a semi-liquid vehicle allows you to kind of take advantage of that flow cycle that we typically see.
Right. All right. Great stuff. Thanks, Greg, for joining us, and hope to have you back here again. For investors wanting to learn more about Lord Abbett's views on the markets, please visit the Insights section of lordabbett.com. We have a number of papers on municipal bond investing that touch on a lot of what we discussed here today. If you have any comments on today's episode or ideas for future episodes, email podcasts@lordabbett.com. We welcome your thoughts and would love to hear from you. So we'll leave it there. This has been Brian Forster with the Active Investor Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is intended solely for informational purposes and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation. The contents are based on available information at creation and subject to change. It is not intended as investment, legal, or tax advice. Lord Abbett is not acting as your fiduciary. Past performance is not a reliable indicator or guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk, including the loss of capital. Certain information contained herein has been obtained from third-party sources, and such information has not been independently verified by Lord Abbott. The views and opinions expressed by the Lord Abbott speaker are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm as a whole. References to specific asset classes and financial markets are for illustrative purposes only. Neither Lord Abbott nor the Lord Abbott speaker can be responsible for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information offered. The information in this podcast does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction. This recording may not be reproduced in whole or in part or any form without the permission of Lord Abbott. Lord Abbott Mutual Funds are distributed by Lord Abbott Distributor LLC, member FINRA. For additional information on risk and a glossary of terms used in this broadcast, visit lordabbott.com. This broadcast is the copyright 2025 of Lord Abbott & Co. LLC, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on July 10, 2025.